And Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Yeshua." Okay? So, Father God, I pray again, as we think about the obedience of Joseph and his faithfulness, and just a look into his heart and his character, I pray that we would be encouraged and that we would all the more just wonder and worship our awesome Savior who has done so much, our Father in heaven who gave his Son so that we could be born again. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, look at these first couple of When Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. I think this is not very many places in the Bible do we have just an example of a Jewish betrothal and marriage like we see in the life of Joseph and Mary. So keep in mind that, you know, some people say Joseph could have been as old as 40 and Mary just a young. We don't really know that. He could have been that old, and sometimes they waited until they were that old before they were established and everything. But this young Jewish girl, the arrangement is made by the parents back in those days, and even sometimes today it still happens like that around the world, where an agreement is made. You remember Fiddler on the Roof? "We had an agreement." Remember that? There was a betrothal. And when that betrothal happens, it is like, it's a binding legal contract, you might say. Or covenant. You might say the covenant doesn't come in until later on when it is consummated. But there's an agreement. And so, when it says she had been betrothed to Joseph, I like how in the nativity story, the father says to Mary, "You will treat him just like your husband, you know, in all things, except for that which leads to children, which must wait." So they were bound, and you will consider him. This is what he said to Mary in the way they told the story in the movie. "You will consider him your husband." Okay? You know? So, they were betrothed. And so, oftentimes in a Jewish wedding, there would be this betrothal, and the husband would then concentrate on going and building their home. and making all the preparations. Sometimes it would take months or maybe a couple of years to get all of his ducks in a row so that he's able to provide. He has a nice home to bring his wife home to, and that he's making enough money and has enough saved up to support her and to feed her and clothe her and take care of the family that they're going to have. So there's a betrothal, and then there's that period of waiting until the wedding day, and then he'll come and receive his wife, and there'll be the celebration, and then they'll go into their home together and enjoy life together. So they're in this time of waiting. The betrothal has happened, and you might remember Mary got the news. The angel, came and told her that she would be giving birth to the Son of God, and she also remembered that her cousin Elizabeth was also going to have a baby in her old age, and that child would be the forerunner of the Messiah. And so Mary goes down to visit with Elizabeth. So she's gone for about 3 months, it's quite possible, it's not absolutely clear in the scriptures, but it's probable that she was there for the birth of John the Baptist and then returned back to Nazareth. Okay, so what has happened in 3 months? All you ladies that have carried children over the years, when you were 3 months pregnant, how were you? How big were you at that time? Were you showing? Hardly showing. So the movie might have been a little bit off there. But when Mary began to, it's a good question. When along in the 9 month cycle of carrying the baby Jesus in her womb did Joseph realize she's pregnant? There comes a point when you can't hide this anymore, in most cases, and here she's found to be with child, and she was with child by the Holy Spirit, but Joseph didn't know that. Okay? So what is he going to do? What is a righteous, when we use the word righteous, it sounds like, it's usually coupled with the word self-righteous, which is not a good thing, right? But Joseph was a righteous man in the eyes of God. And that's one of the reasons he was chosen for this role. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. I want you to think about this. Was it the right thing to do if you're betrothed to, who you believed to be a righteous, godly, Jewish girl, and she comes up pregnant, and you're not the dad? What are you going to do? It's quite a dilemma. What does the Old Testament say? When a woman is caught, when it's proven that she's been unfaithful to her husband. Remember, he's considered her husband, even though they're not married yet. The consummation hasn't happened yet. But if there's a girl who is a virgin engaged to a man, and another man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of the city, that city, and you shall stone them to death. The girl, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he has violated his neighbor's wife. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. Boy, Pastor, why are you bringing up verses like that on Christmas? We need to realize that this Old Testament law needs to be understood to really get the fullness of what was going on. Joseph is like, Look what the Old Testament says should happen to a man and a woman who has been caught in the act of adultery. This is sad reality and painful. And we forget that what was a sin back then? Why was that the penalty for this sin? Because this sin is that egregious in the eyes of God. And in our society, it's no big deal. People say, just do it. It's not even considered a bad thing for, you know, these kinds of things to happen in our society. And we think that because we don't look at these Old Testament passages that tell us how God feels about these particular kinds of sin and evil. Okay? And so Joseph, the amazing thing is that Joseph decided, and I'd like you to write this down in that little section under this, when it's talking about Joseph not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided that he would put her away silently. What was he doing there? This is a thought I'd like you to write down. God wanted the man who would be raising his son to be like himself. I think this is one of those passages that shows the grace of God. He was a God that laid it down clearly before the people. What is right and what is wrong? If you do wrong, here are the consequences for the evil conduct. We need to realize all of this because when Jesus came into the world, he came into the world to die for our sins. Why did he have to die? Because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And that's why Jesus came into the world. And yet, look at all through the Old Testament how sinners find grace in the eyes of the Lord. God was pouring out the flood on the world in the days of Noah, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham lied about his wife. She's my sister. Just so that they wouldn't, you know, hurt him. And the Lord said, through you, I'm going to bless all of the families of the earth. By his grace, he also showed compassion and grace and mercy. We need to always hold in balance these biblical truths. The judgment and wrath of God and the grace of God. Did I go? Yeah, when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord. I'm sorry, I didn't want to move on to that too quickly. I wanted you to remember that he had decided to put her away quietly. Okay? And so he was willing to show grace. Because I wonder if, though he couldn't figure it all out, before the angel of the Lord came and told him what was going on, he decided, I don't want to see her drug out into the streets and stoned to death. I'm going to put her away quietly, silently. Okay? So then, praise be to God, when he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So do you think, when Mary came back up from visiting Elizabeth, and when she, perhaps at that point where she began to show, and she was trying to explain why, how it is that she's pregnant, though she's never been with a man, and she said, an angel came to me and told me that the Holy Spirit would do this, and that the child would be the Son of God. I mean, what did he think? How did he respond to that at first? Well, we can see if she said, we don't know everything that she said. We don't know how she tried to explain what was going on. Was she just silent and waiting on God to do whatever he was going to do? We don't really know. And we should read into the text more than is there. But I think it's good to ask and try to imagine what was Joseph going through. What did Mary say to him? Thanks be to God that the angel came and made it so crystal clear to him that don't be afraid to take her to be your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So just think again about the amazing miracle and the look on Joseph's face. Wait a minute. You want me to marry her, so I have to be the father to the Son of God, the stepdad, you might say. I'm going to raise him. And I love in the movie how he says, I wonder if I'll be able to teach him anything. It's kind of an interesting thought. How does a man teach the Son of God anything? So the angel came, don't be afraid. The child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God is up to something. And all you need to do is just do what the Lord is commanding you to do. As crazy and bizarre and as strange and out of the ordinary as it may seem. Just do what God is telling you to do. Remember when at the wedding, and they ran out of wine. I love what the angel, or what, I love what the Mary said to the those who were there wondering what to do. She told them, just do whatever he tells you to do. Go get all that water and bring it back. Take it to the head waiter. And God had done that amazing miracle. We need to learn to do what God tells us to do, even when it seems out of the ordinary or doesn't make any sense. She will, he went on to say, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. I think it's interesting that he's saying to Joseph, she's going to have a son. You will call his name Jesus. Why is that important? Back in that day, it was the father who decided. Remember when Zechariah came the naming ceremony for John? And because John still wasn't speaking, he was still zip-lipped because he didn't believe the word that the angel had spoken. They said, oh, you've got to name him John. They were all sure that John would want him named John. You got to name him Zechariah after his father, because surely Zechariah would want this special, unique, and very amazing child to be named after himself. A lot of fathers do that. Name him Junior, right? But John wrote on a tablet, his name is, Zechariah wrote on a tablet. I'm going to do it all day long. Zechariah wrote on a tablet, his name is John, and that's when his mouth was open. So it's Joseph who has the responsibility of naming this child Yeshua, Jesus. Jesus is the New Testament way, or the Greek way of writing the Old Testament name Joshua. Same name as Joshua who took, you know, Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, who was the high priest after the return of the exiles to Jerusalem. And it's interesting, I just got done reading this morning about this amazing, interesting, the prophet said, make a crown for Joshua, this high priest. And it was like, in a very unique, none of the priests in the Old Testament up until that time acted as king. But they said, make a crown for this Joshua. And I believe it was a prophetically speaking of the Joshua who would be born that we're talking about today. And he'll fulfill this dual role of king and priest. Jesus is the one
who is almighty over everything, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's also our high priest. That,
what does a priest do? He reconnects us with the Father. He is the go-between in between mankind and God Almighty. And so his name will be called Jesus, Joshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus equals Yahweh is salvation. You can understand why a lot of Jewish moms and dads wanted to call their kids.
There's a bunch of Joshuas running all over the hillside, you know, back in Jesus' day. Just like a lot of Hispanic people still call their kids Jesus. It's not unusual at all.
Because I wonder how many Jewish mothers, when they were having a child, were thinking, could my child, if they're in the line of David, could my child be the Messiah?
I'm guessing not too many people were thinking like that.
I'm guessing Mary was thinking, you know, oh, if I get married to Joseph and have a baby, you know, who's thinking of having the Messiah? But he will save his people from their sins. His name equals Yahweh is salvation. Okay, so all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. It's so contradictory, right? A virgin cannot be with child, right? Normally speaking. This is why this passage just jumps out of the page in the Old Testament. Like, how is God going to pull that off? You're wondering. A virgin, the prophet wrote, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. It's kind of interesting because right in the context of this, that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, you keep on reading that whole chapter, and it talks about there's a virgin prophetess who's never known a man back then, and it's kind of like the Lord is doing this. What was God doing? Because right there in the context, after this verse is written down, it's like there's a story that occurs that sort of foreshadows a little bit of what's going to happen in the future. But when he wrote, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, you shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, right there in the same chapter, a virgin, Jeremiah says, I approached the prophetess, who was this virgin at the time of the prophecy, and they got married and they had a child. But they didn't name him Emmanuel. So it's kind of interesting how the Lord was working all that out. And I believe even from the beginning, back in Isaiah 7:14, he wanted his people to know that this miracle of a virgin being with child, when Isaiah's wife had a child, when she had the baby, she wasn't a virgin anymore. She was a married woman who, you know. But I think even from back then, he was trying to get his people ready for the time when this miracle, when we look at everything from what happened to Mary and what happened to Joseph and how God brought them together, and how this child came into the world before Mary and Joseph had ever come together in that sense. What an incredible miracle. A virgin literally had a baby. And the baby was from the Holy Spirit, and his name is God with us. And when you got to ask yourself, does God really want to be with me?
ask yourself, what did God do in order to be together with his people? What did he do in order to reconcile us to himself? Wow. God actually, really, in history, entered into our
what is the word? He entered into our lives, yes, when we trusted in him, but he entered into humanity. And he actually became one of us. And I wonder, do we really believe that?
And I think Michael Card was right when he said, there's nothing else you can do but fall down and worship. There's no fiction as fantastic and wild as a mother made by her own child. So he is so literally and miraculously God with us. Okay. So again, what's more amazing? That Mary got to carry the baby God in her womb for 9 months and then raise him as the mother of the Messiah. What's more amazing? Being the one God chose to actually see the Messiah grow up and have to learn, isn't that weird? I don't think Jesus was born speaking Hebrew and quoting the Psalms, right? If he grew up as a normal human child, he had to learn how to talk. How is that possible? He left nasty packages in his diaper, just like other babies do. I mean, the God of the universe humbling himself that much in that way. It's something that every single year I hope we never stop just slowing down to say, Lord, what an amazing miracle. So what's more amazing? Those people get to enjoy the presence of God in that way, or having God with us, in us, every day, all the time, helping us figure out how in the world are we going to keep the peace with all the kids and all the family coming for Christmas. You've got God, the Holy Spirit, that will enable you to, minister the gospel along with your Christmas dinner and all of the fun and games that you have as families getting together and celebrating. He's with you and in you to guide you through everything. And if you're trying to figure out how in the world, you're one of those folks that I don't want to have another Christmas without the family members that we've lost. You remember when your loved ones were here and now they're gone, and how am I going to enjoy Christmas with all this? Well, you've got God with you and in you. Because he came the first time as a little baby and grew up and did all that and died on the cross, now we get him with us, in us, every day, all the time, forever. That's a lot to rejoice about. The best Christmas present ever. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this amazing miracle. Thank you that you sent the angel to let Joseph know that he doesn't have to be afraid, that he can marry Mary and do everything that you've called him to do. And I pray, Lord God, I think of the kids in our church that you could be calling to go to crazy, dangerous places around the world to share the gospel with people in the future. I think of our kids that could be, we have no idea what the future holds for them. And I pray for all of us right here and all of our kids and those that we're, that we love and care for. Lord, help us to do what you are telling us to do, even if it's weird and unusual and it doesn't make any sense. I pray that you would help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People what you have given to the world, what you've done for us. Help us, Lord, with that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. And I really wanted you to leave.
That was the